Head in. One small section of the Victoria Police statement condemned me. Quote, likely to lapse into a life of vice and crime, school attendance irregular, environment outside the house appears to be bad, associates are bad, contributing factors to delinquency, appears to be lack of parental control, bad company and suggestibility. Shows a defined criminal tendency. Unquote. Jeez, I was well and truly stuffed. Two policemen in plain clothes had questioned me and three mates of mine in Bourke Street, Melbourne, on a chilly Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. We were then taken to the office of the Special Uniform Squad at police headquarters in Russell Street, a few blocks away, and formally interviewed. I was alone in a room with a copper who pointed to a small torch, a large torch in new condition, two pocket knives, one purse, one padlock, and a key. He said, where'd you get these things from? We found them in the garden. Did you find them all in the garden? Yes, and also two cameras. I think you stole these things. No, we found them. The copper left the room, spoke to my mates, returned and said, are you sure that you didn't take these things? Yes, we pinched them out of cars. I just dubbed myself in. I wasn't good at lying, and I always end up telling the truth. It was obvious I was never going to become a master criminal. How'd you get into the cars? We kept trying the doors until we found some that were open. Why weren't you at school today? We went to school this morning, but we came to the cars after lunch. I also admitted that we had wagged school the previous Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons when we nicked some books and a pound note. I also admitted that we had wagged... Oh, I've read it. I remember very little of our crime wave, but I do remember hanging out with a mate outside a several-storey high Commonwealth Centre known as the Green Latrine because of the green facade. The building was across the road from the Exhibition Gardens near Spring Street and Victoria Parade. We'd been having a great old time, laughing and carrying on, waving our stolen cameras around while the office workers came in and out. After the interview, I was taken home in a police car and a cop told my parents about the seriousness of these offences and that we would have to go to court. He added that if it continued, I'd be placed in a boys' home. I learnt later one of my mates had also been taken home and he'd admitted we'd been knocking things off from cars for 2 or 3 months. 6 days after our interview at police headquarters, we're all sprung again by coppers in the city at 8:30 p.m. and interviewed in the manager's office of the Lyceum Theatre. I told the truth again and admitted to taking things from cars near the Exhibition Gardens. Yes, we took some cups, which we sold for 3 shillings, and a big pocket knife, which we sold for 2 shillings, and I've got a key in my pocket. Telling the truth certainly got me into a lot of trouble. After the second interview, we were taken to the policewoman's office in Russell Street before being transported to Tirana Boys' Home in nearby Parkville. Later that evening, my parents were informed by a police officer about what had happened. Three days later, I was taken to the children's court and sentenced to be placed in the care of the Children's Welfare Department, after which I was returned to Tirana. I remember sitting on a carpeted floor inside an office at Tirana, stripped to my underpants, cross-legged and slightly hunched over, as was another boy next to me. In front of us was a man sitting behind a desk and asking questions while filling out a form. I could feel the heater behind me warm the room, a welcome relief from the cold May nights. But I still trembled with fear. All I could do was answer the questions and think of my family who were far away. I was alone. I had my chances, but I stuffed up big time, and no one was going to rescue me now. When the interview was over, we were given a shirt, a jumper, and pants to put on. I dressed myself in these new, ill-fitting clothes and wore past my old ones, a tartan shirt, a singlet, cardigan, black jeans, all stacked in a bundle nearby. I now felt completely alone. It was early May 1960. I was almost 7.5 years old.